to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. I am so excited to be with you once again, and God is good all the time. I recently wrote a book, as many of you perhaps realize, called Be Not Afraid, focused on faith, not fear, in the midst of COVID-19. And a really fascinating thing about it is the fact that God came to me and said, I want you to write this book to give my people faith and to give my people hope and encouragement. And this is at the beginning of March, and literally for about 8 weeks, I did nothing but day and night write this book. And I got one of my really close friends and someone that I admire so greatly, Father Augustine Pugner, to write the foreword. And Father Augustine is the pastor of St. John the Baptist Church in Costa Mesa. He is a dear friend, a very, very holy man, a holy priest. And he's actually read the book 3 or 4 times. In fact, he told me, he said, I get strength from this book. I get encouragement from this book. And it was so impressive to me and so encouraging to me that we recently did a seminar, Be Not Afraid, and he blessed us with actually talking about how the book impacted him, especially the chapter on examination of conscience. So this particular show is a little bit unique in the sense that it is going to be the audio of the actual talk that Father Augustine Pugner gave at our Be Not Afraid conference. And he particularly focuses on something that he believes in so strongly, of course, and that is the sacrament of reconciliation. Why is reconciliation so important? Because repentance is so important, because we're sinners, because God wants to be in our life in a way not to have any obstacles of sin. Anything that is going to bring you away from God, that is something that God wants to get rid of. He wants us to be connected with him. As he said, remain in me and I will remain in you. Abide in me and I will abide in you, in John 15. The world that we live in right now is very, very surreal. It's very surreal in terms of what is going on. And we need the sacraments. We need the Eucharist. We need reconciliation. We need to be made whole. Let's take a listen to Father Augustine Pugner as he begins to talk about what the meaning of reconciliation, the examination of conscience, is to him, and the impact of Be Not Afraid, what that book has meant to him personally.
So, hello everyone. Father Augustine Pugner, pastor of St. John the Baptist Parish. So happy to be with you today for this conference, Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry, as we continue to reflect upon the great message of Deacon Steve's recent book, Be Not Afraid, helping us to overcome the isolation and anxiety and the discouragement that we might be experiencing as we continue through this difficult time in the pandemic. And we've already shared with you through Deacon Steve's ministry and through the book itself, the very positive and hopeful message that it's a book about encouragement and it's a book about helping our faith overcome our fear. And it gives us a beautiful roadmap on how we can navigate through this difficult time and still see opportunities for spiritual growth. And now over these past few months in my ministry here at St. John the Baptist and in other places as well, I've seen that that's been such an important aspect of Deacon Steve's message, to remain positive, to go to the Word of God, to receive inspiration, to trust in the power of the Holy Spirit, a constant theme in Deacon Steve's message. And I've experienced it, not only in my own life, dealing with the struggles, even dealing with a little illness here and there throughout this time, but in all of that, just continuing to trust in God, continuing to trust in the message of Be Not Afraid. We have distributed a lot of copies of the book here at our parish, and we're very, very grateful for Deacon Steve and the ministry for making that possible. And a number of people have expressed their regard not only for the message of the book, but for the timeliness of the way in which it helped encourage them through these difficult times. And we know that the difficult times are not yet over. We kind of thought maybe back in March that, you know, by July we'd be through all this. And unfortunately that, you know, does not seem to be the case. But in all of this, today I want to reflect upon the message of one of the particular chapters of the book, my theme, Steve's reflection on the examination of conscience as it appears here in his book. And a very powerful and, again, positive way of encouraging us to see in this time the ways in which God may be calling us to greater holiness, as we know He is, to greater conversion, as we know He does, and to apply that in our lives in a way that we'll experience, especially through the sacrament of reconciliation, the healing power of God's mercy. I think one of the things that we are struggling with in this situation is that it is bringing about, well, unfortunately, so many divisions within the world, within our ideas and in our approaches to life and in our approaches to the pandemic. Even within the church itself, there are just so many different ideas that are being floated out there. And we know that, you know, God wants us to be unified, and that unity comes through reconciliation, which brings peace. Our unity with God obviously is reestablished if it has been lost through serious sin. It's reestablished through the sacrament of reconciliation, the grace of a good confession. And so when Deacon Steve includes in the book this beautiful chapter on the examination of conscience, I think that's an important first step in our reflection, to see it in its proper context. So if you're not familiar with the book, again, it's a wonderful use mostly of Scripture and Deacon Steve's own personal experience through his ministry and some personal stories of giving us encouragement, right? So just in terms of the chapter, you know, titles, gives us the various topics. And I just want to put, you know, the overall context before us before I get into the details of the examination of conscience, because it's sort of an overarching program. A program of spiritual renewal, a program of responding to the crisis. And again, there's a real logic of faith to the way in which Deacon Steve has laid out the book. So first, just overcoming adversity. Acknowledging the adversity is one thing. But of course, you know, the way of overcoming the adversity is a way in which we totally trust in God. We totally turn to God in prayer. And that's like the first step, that we face this adversity with the confidence that we can overcome it. Chapter 2, faith, not fear. Like, that's really the central topic of the book. Be not afraid. Faith, not fear. Deacon Steve points out in so many ways how, not only in this crisis, but kind of in a general sense, fear is the enemy in so many ways to our faith in God, to our trust and confidence in ourselves. And, you know, all those anxieties and concerns that we have, they're real. And we need to deal with them in a way that you know, faith gives us that inspiration, right? Chapter 3, praying with power, the importance of prayer. Of course, that, you know, can never be, like, overstated. You know, we need to pray. We need to pray more. We need to pray better. We need to pray with greater faith and intensity and greater love in our hearts. Chapter 4, turn to your mother. The Marian dimension of this whole beautiful message of be not afraid, right? She who is always the model for us of saying yes to God, accepting hardships and difficulties, even, you know, uniting her sufferings to those of Jesus, as we need to do also. And then finally, again, sort of in preparation for my reflection, then the chapter on the examination of conscience. So after, again, overcoming adversity, faith, not fear, the importance of prayer and Our Lady. And then Steve inserts this beautiful reflection on the sacrament of reconciliation and the importance of an examination of conscience. Because without a personal reflection on the way in which we see this situation allowing us opportunities to grow, we will totally miss those opportunities. We will just sort of, you know, kind of blindly go through this, and either we'll complain or we'll become bitter or angry or just give in to the depression, whatever that may be. But if we just reflect on ourselves and on how it is that we can improve our moral and spiritual life, that's where the examination of conscience comes in, to helping us overcome our fear and to really, really be filled with greater faith. And then after the examination of conscience, again, the whole context of the book, share the truth, be an evangelist, right? Once you've sincerely renewed your own sense of conversion and your desire for holiness, share that. Share that with the world. Share the truth. And then finally, the call to holiness. The call to holiness. Again, we know that that's a phrase that we are very familiar with. And Deacon Steve very much challenges us to think about what does that really mean? That you are called to holiness. You are called to be a saint. You are called to be one of God's beloved children. You are one of God's beloved children. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit when you are in the state of grace. You are a child of the church. You are nourished by the body and blood of Christ. You are forgiven in the grace of a good confession. All these realities are sort of why we need to reflect upon the opportunities that the book gives us. So, in regard to the examination of conscience, Deacon Steve reminds us that, you know, if you haven't made a good confession yet, and he does point out that, you know, in this time, unfortunately, the sacraments are rather limited in their availability. And, you know, that's still the case. But be that as it may, that's just a practical question. We are still hearing confessions here at St. John the Baptist by appointment, right? So it is still available, even though it's not as widely available as in normal circumstances. But the reality of confession, the reality of conversion, he says, is certainly part of the opportunity that we can see in this situation. To not be afraid of confessing one's sins to a priest in order that Jesus himself may forgive you. And the forgiveness that we receive in the sacrament of reconciliation and the importance of preparing ourselves to receive that gift in a good confession is really where Steve begins his reflection. And he goes through, and there are about 6 pages that are just the questions that can be asked in preparing for a good confession. Now, the practice of making an examination of conscience is as old as Christianity itself, really. It's a beautiful spiritual exercise that has been recommended and refined in many ways by various saints, theologians, spiritual writers. In religious life, there is a long tradition of periodic, even daily, examination of conscience in regard to the rule of life that religious live by. There are many different ways in which we can use the spiritual exercise called the examination of conscience. And Steve basically follows one of the classical, you know, approaches, which is to go through the Ten Commandments as your guide. Now, that's one way in which we can go through the examination of conscience. Go through the Ten Commandments, and we ask ourselves, have I done this? Have I done this? Have I done this? Have I not done these things which I should have done? So not only sins of commission, but sins of omission. What are the things that I maybe should have done that failed, that I failed to do, right? And so the Ten Commandments is the basis of Steve's questions. And we know that there are, you know, many things related to and that flow from those initial Ten Commandments. And Deacon Steve goes into a great way of refining the details. What questions are we to ask ourselves? In what ways have I sinned? That's the humble and sincere and very beneficial practice of an examination of conscience. So we know that to prepare for the sacrament of reconciliation, that's sort of the official way through an examination of conscience. But as I mentioned, it's a beautiful spiritual practice which many people do just on a daily basis. And sometimes when we think about the other ways in which we can guide our examination of conscience, other than just the Ten Commandments, then we see like the richness of this spiritual exercise. So there are some other very classical and very beneficial ways in which we can structure an examination of conscience. So one of the other ways is to use the deadly sins and then, like, you know, the virtues that are contrary to those vices, right? So the virtue And the vice kind of categorization, pride, envy, lust, sloth, like all the deadly sins, that's another structure by which we can make an examination of conscience and ask ourselves questions about those realities. Have I expressed these vices in my thoughts, words, or deeds?
Wow. These words from Father Augustine Pugner are so powerful as he speaks on our examination of conscience. I always glean such great insights whenever I listen to Father Augustine. Now, in just a moment, we'll get right back to Father as he continues speaking about the seven deadly sins and how we can train our thoughts in ways that bring us closer to God each day. And it's not as hard as you think. Stay with us on Empowered by the Spirit.
Be not afraid by Deacon Steve Greco. In a state of lockdown, staying indoors to help flatten the curve. COVID-19, the worldwide pandemic. Fear has overcome so many, Christians and non-believers alike. Let's face it, our life on planet Earth is short. There is no question that we are in a unique time in our history. There is good news, though. Be not afraid by Deacon Steve Greco. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord over the coronavirus and everything else for that matter. Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Deacon Steve says, instead of seeing this as a time of inconvenience and pain, see it as a new chapter in which God is showering us with a new wineskin of blessings. Be Not Afraid is the brand new book by Deacon Steve Greco. Get your copy today by visiting the website spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. Spiritfilledhearts.org.
Listening to a very special edition of Empowered by the Spirit. Hi, this is Deacon Steve Greco, and today we're being treated to a virtual online conference with my dear friend and Norbertine priest, Father Augustine Pugner. Father Augustine will now continue to speak on how we can really go deep in our examination of conscience. I believe very, very strongly that in this particular day and age of the pandemic, the fear that is gripping so many people, that this is the time to really pray differently, to each day look at ourselves and say, what went right today? How did I get closer to God? What went wrong today as it relates to maybe having fear creep in, maybe some sinful behavior that I didn't want? To really go to God each day and say, help me get closer to you. Let's take a listen to Father Augustine as he further talks about the importance of this examination of conscience and the critical nature of having faith and not fear as we continue to examine this new book, Be Not Afraid.
Have I expressed these vices in my thoughts, words, or deeds? Right? And then we can use also the contrary virtues as ways for us to help. When we think about, okay, being humble and being grateful and being, you know, joyful, all the other good qualities in our lives, to ask ourselves, have we really expressed those in a daily way? Another beautiful way for us to make an examination of conscience is to base it on some other sort of scriptural guide in order to sort of guide our moral life. And another one, very important and classical structure, are the Beatitudes from the fifth chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, from the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn. It's again another sort of structure that we can use as a kind of examination of conscience, an examination of our life, right? And those are just some of the other ways that we can make this exercise with a view of refining our self-knowledge, our self-awareness of our sinfulness, so that our sense of contrition, sorrow for our sin, our purpose of amendment, so that we may not sin again, that these things are strengthened and fortified. And again, it's a question of maturity, of understanding, refinement in our reflection. And as we grow closer to God, all the saints experienced this. As they grew closer to God, they were made even more aware of their sinfulness, even in its details. And, you know, the way in which they were able to, you know, kind of just sort of kneel down and examine their conscience, like amazing, amazing, like the details in regards to not only just, you know, obviously they had avoided serious sin, and then it was just, okay, well then, you know, smaller sins, and then it was imperfections and other things, right? So that refinement in regard to the examination of conscience is, again, a wonderful and very inspiring way for us to ask ourselves these questions. Now, in addition to just asking ourselves to prepare for, you know, confession especially, or just to, you know, develop like a daily examination of conscience, it's important for us not only just to ask, what have I done? What are my sins? That's usually what every examination of conscience just sort of focuses on, like the sins themselves, like what have I done or what did I fail to do, right? But let's go beyond that. And I think this is a very, very important part. And I think this is where, you know, Deacon Steve, when he includes this, you know, chapter in the overall context of this book on spiritual strength and spiritual renewal, here's a key. We need to ask ourselves not just what have I done, but we need to ask ourselves, why have I done those things? In what way were they presented to my mind as something good? Because we only choose what even we falsely perceive to be good. Great saints and theologians say, you know, no one chooses sin for the sake of sin. We don't. We are deceived into thinking there's something good here. There's some benefit. There's something to be gained, or something, you know, some pain to be avoided if I make this choice. That's the complexity of like the psychology of sin, right? But the question of why, that's a much deeper and more profound form of examination of conscience. And that requires, you know, real prayer, a real life of meditation, a real life of reflection on the gospel and the gospel inspiration, the teachings of the church and their, you know, rationale, their reasoning, and all the things that guide our mind to make these choices, right? And when we think about, you know, the why do I sin? Of course, you know, as a priest for, you know, 23 years now, you in our ministry, we face this and we answer these questions, obviously, for people. Father, why do I keep sinning? Why do I keep falling into these sins? Why do I come to confession and just confess the same thing over and over and over again? This is the basic reality that we all deal with to a certain degree. And now there are, you know, no like really easy answers sometimes for that, you know, critical question. But to ask that question and to ask it sincerely of God is to open up our examination of conscience into a whole new level of spiritual enlightenment, purification, strength and inspiration from just the reflection upon not only, you know, what have I done? What do I need to confess when I go to confession? But why? Where was the lack of motivation to do the right thing? What was the source of the temptation? Why was it so hard to resist? And then, of course, always the remedy of, well, how can I learn from that kind of an examination of conscience how to be, you know, prepared for vulnerable situations, how to strengthen oneself in those areas of weakness that you may be aware of? If there's, you know, one area that we really, really struggle with, then, you know, to find for ourselves what is the key to motivating me to either not, you know, commit that sin or simply to continue to grow in the good habit, the virtue that's going to help me be strong when I experience that same temptation. This is how we grow in our spiritual life, through an examination of our conscience. So when we get into that beautiful reality of what motivates us, again, it's kind of, you know, bringing us back to the theme of the book, right? That it's got to be faith that motivates all of our choices, all of the ways in which we reflect upon our spiritual life, all the ways in which we want to desire to be a saint and to be holy and to love God and to love our neighbors and to serve them with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is the Christian life. And that is a life where, you know, faith is absolutely necessary for us to be able to sustain ourselves through those difficulties. Right? So the motivation, obviously, when we think about why it is, and for, you know, a number of people, and maybe, you know, for you who are listening today, perhaps you've had this sort of epiphany experience where, you know, through repeated use of the sacrament of reconciliation, God has given you that grace. Or maybe it was the advice of a priest or a spiritual director. Perhaps you had that moment, that epiphany moment, where you finally understood, well, now I know why I keep falling into that sin. I know why I'm just either so weak or so vulnerable. Or I know why I just keep, you know, putting myself close to an occasion of sin, right? And when we understand that, when we have that epiphany moment, it's a beautiful gift and a grace from God. It's liberation, it's freedom, it's, again, you know, courage to overcome that fear of saying, I know I'm going to sin again, I know I'm going to do it again, I know I'm going to do it again. Well, again, that sort of defeatist attitude is obviously never going to allow us to break free, right? But that's where we have to pray to the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the why, the motivation, or the lack of, you know, that good quality in us that's going to prevent us from falling into those sins. And that's where the examination of conscience becomes something really exciting and deeply spiritual, right? There are so many good resources, right, to help with the examination of conscience. Here at the parish, as is true, I think, with other parishes, you know, we have pamphlets that we put, you know, in the church, outside the confessionals when we have confessions. Now they're, you know, here in our parish office. But beautiful things, again, and based on either, you know, the Ten Commandments, the deadly sins, Beatitudes, and there are various ways in which we can go through. Most of those resources will kind of begin with, you know, what have I done? And that's good, because we kind of need to know that. And for the actual, you know, celebration of a good confession, right? You don't need to go into all the analysis of your motivation, right? When you confess to the priest, you basically do just kind of say what you've done, right? But for your own spiritual growth, right? Asking yourself more than just, you know, what have I done? What do I need to say? What do I need to confess? But going deeper into that other question, the question of why, question of motivations, then it's an examination of conscience that really allows us to experience much more fully the way in which the Holy Spirit uses confession to change us and to heal us. I think that's another very beautiful and important point. You know, Deacon Steve's book is filled with just, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a moment for conversion, for change, for really being strong in your faith and in your relationship with God. And bringing that into the context of the examination of conscience, when we really believe that that's an experience also of the gifts of the Holy Spirit enlightening us, inspiring us, opening up to ourselves the ways in which we can grow in our spiritual life, then the examination of conscience is not just the list of sins. It's not just, you know, I've done these things. It's, you know, how can I love God with greater intensity? How can I live my faith with greater hope and conviction? How can my entire life be a message of God's mercy and God's love and the power and work of the Holy Spirit in my life? When we really, you know, examine ourselves and our lives with that depth of meaning, with that depth of purpose, and I certainly think that this is a beautiful message from Deacon Steve's reflection on the examination of conscience. You know, God is calling us to become saints. And we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing to assist God, allow God to make that happen in our lives? And that's where examining our life and examining our conscience is really so, so truly liberating.
Thank you, Father Augustine. I just get so excited every time I listen to his wisdom and insight about faith, about reconciliation, about the importance of turning our hearts, our minds, our souls to Jesus Christ. This is what true liberation is all about. My friends, you're listening to a very unique edition of Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco. And while I'm typically the principal speaker on this radio show, but today we've turned it over to Father Augustine Pugner, and you're hearing the audio from a recent online conference we did talking about my newest book, Be Not Afraid. Be sure to go to spiritfilledhearts.org to order your copy today, and maybe five more to pass out to family and friends. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. Lots more to come as Father Augustine concludes his remarks from the online conference with a caution. And believe me, you don't want to miss this right here on Empowered by the Spirit.
Hey friends, have you had the chance to check out our Empowered by the Spirit Patreon page yet? You're probably wondering, what is that? And what is Patreon? Well, it's a website and kind of a centralized hub of all the happenings and goings-on with Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. Like radio shows with your favorite guests, live conference talks on Catholic faith and spirituality, dynamic videos you can't find anywhere else, and coming very soon, audiobooks and a lot more. Simply go online to patreon.com/spiritfilledhearts. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/spiritfilledhearts. Come visit today to see and hear what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with yours truly, Deacon Steve Greco. And we're about to conclude the remarks made by Father Augustine Pugner at an amazing online conference we recently put together called Be Not Afraid, based on a book that I just wrote with that very title. Now, if you've missed any part of today's show or want to listen again and download the podcast, be sure to go to spiritfilledhearts.org for all the information. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. And you can actually go to the Spirit-Filled Hearts Facebook page and actually see the Father Augustine segment. Okay, back to Father Augustine as he concludes his remarks on the paramount importance of our examination of conscience.
Let me finish with a little caution in regard to the practice of the examination of conscience. And that is simply this. It is a well-known fact in spirituality and psychology that there are those who suffer from a condition that we call scrupulosity. And that is those who, in their examination of conscience, for whatever reason, and there are developmental reasons, which are mysterious and very personal for each individual, but there are those individuals who seem to think that everything they do is a sin. Now, you may not be aware of this, you may not have ever heard of this, but of course some of you may be, in fact, among those who suffer from this. There is a kind of, you could say, sensitivity or delicacy of conscience which is, you know, a little bit disordered. Okay? And I only mention this because there are those situations where, in my pastoral practice, as is true with the other priests, in saying, well, you know, you need to make a good examination of conscience. And people will embark on that, and they'll, in a certain sense, like, kind of take it too far. They'll go so into the depth and detail of what they've done. And, you know, some of those lists of, like, what have I done? I mean, they're long. I mean, you can just go, I mean, even just start with the Ten Commandments and you'll come up with, you know, 250 questions. All right, now that's a lot. And for a scrupulous person, that's an agony. That's an agony for them. So there's always that caution to say, in our exercise of the examination of conscience, we need to make sure we approach it in a balanced and reasonable way, right? And in this case, we want to avoid the extremes of, say, sort of the scrupulous who says, well, you know, everything I do is a sin. Everything I do, Father. You know, they would come into a confession and just 10, 15, 20, 25 minutes. Everything they do, they consider a sin, right? That's, of course, the one extreme, the scrupulous. The other extreme is also to be avoided, which is those who have completely lost the sense of sin and nothing to them is a sin, right? So the exercise requires from us a certain balance and maturity in our understanding of the moral teachings of the church and the commandments themselves and our response to God's grace. So those are ways in which the practice itself can become a little bit challenging, right? So for those of you who have been and continue to practice an examination of conscience on a regular basis, that is perhaps more than just like preparing to go to confession. Some of you might do it, you know, once a week, every few days. Some of you might do it every day. Some will do it at night or, you know, during the middle of the day. However you engage in the practice itself, you know, do it with a hopeful and a positive approach. That is, this examination of conscience is not meant to be, you know, self-torture and just treating yourself, you know, badly. It's really just for revealing to yourself the ways in which you sin and the motivations and the whys. Again, that's the other question that we've reflected upon. But certainly that's one extreme, the scrupulous. Avoiding the loss of the sense of sin, this is another huge issue, obviously, like in the wider culture, surely. And this is where, for those, and in the church itself, our recommendation and our exhortation to practice the use of making a good examination of conscience is precisely so that we can, you know, hold ourselves accountable and not to lose that sense of sin. To, you know, really be humble enough to know that we do offend God and we offend our neighbors on those occasions, and to be honest about that and to trust in the mercy of God and trust in the power of the grace of a good confession. And that is, again, the great source of consolation and the freedom that comes from knowing that we're forgiven by God. But those extremes on either side, again, those are the kind of things that we want to avoid. And the church's guidance on all these beautiful issues, our moral life, our growth in holiness, our ongoing conversion. We've mentioned this in other contexts, in other, you know, conferences before, but, you know, to really trust in God is to trust in, you know, the church and the gospel and the revelation that Jesus Christ has given to his church once for all. You know, we have the answers that we need if we look like in the right places and in the right way. Same is true for our examination of conscience. You know, it's such a beautiful and powerful practice, not just for confession, but just for our overall spiritual lives. And when we approach it again with, you know, the correct guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the teachings of the church, when we sincerely and humbly make it an act of prayer, when it brings forth the fruits of greater contrition, sorrow for our sin, greater purpose of amendment, Lord, and I will do my best not to sin again, sincerely repeat that as we do day after day after day in our lives, when we trust in the power of, you know, the saints in heaven to help us and intercede for us, the encouragement that we get from all of our wonderful Catholic friends and all the good people that we know in our community and in our church and through the ministry. There are just so many positive ways in which that practice of the examination of conscience is then, you know, brings that abundant fruit. And that is my prayer for all of you participating in the conference today, that through all the themes that we will reflect upon, that it will be a day of inspiration, and that after the conference, you will continue to ask yourselves those really important questions, not just in regard to the examination of conscience, you know, what have I done, but why have I done that? And what can I do differently to improve my life? And what can I do differently, you know, to really be on guard against those occasions of sin? And through all of the themes of Deacon Steve's book, continuing to really, you know, overcome adversity and really, you know, allow faith to overcome our fear. We are still on that journey, We are still in this time of, you know, crisis. We are still facing these challenges and anxieties. And at this point, it could be a while, right, before things really kind of get back to normal. But things can always be normal right here, in our souls, in our hearts, and in our minds, right? By God's grace, we can, you know, interiorly experience that normalcy again. And I think that was a big motivation for Deacon Steve to write the book and for the ministries, you know, continuing to present this message as we are doing today, these beautiful themes, because it's got to come from within, and that comes from God. And when we are in this together and praying for one another and encouraging each other through these conferences and through the beautiful ministry of Spirit-Filled Hearts, I've seen it in so many lives already. They are supported, they are strengthened, they are encouraged. And that, my dear friends, is the work of God. And may God continue us in that good work. May our Blessed Mother Mary continue to pray for us and intercede for us, our Queen of Peace and Health of the Sick. And may this day and the reflections that flow from this day continue to give you great peace and joy. And may God bless you all.
Such blessed and anointed words from Father Augustine Pugner. I don't know about you, but I'm really going to go back and listen to that again and again. We all know of someone who could really benefit from that frank discussion and how we can go deep in our examination of conscience. Okay, there's one more segment left of today's extra special edition of Empowered by the Spirit. So do yourself a favor and keep it right here on Empowered by the Spirit.
Here's a reflection from Auxiliary Bishop Timothy Fryer of the Diocese of Orange in Southern California.
A number of you have been reaching out asking about what's happening with masses now that the governor has issued a new order. As you know, here in the Diocese of Orange, we pay attention to what the government officials say, and we also consult our own medical experts to see what is in the best interest of the common good. Almost all of our parishes are moving to the celebration of Mass outdoors. They'll continue to live stream for those who are elderly or those who don't feel comfortable coming to Mass, but know that we're not eliminating Masses. Maybe there might be one or two parishes that don't have space, but the majority of our parishes are continuing to offer, especially on Sunday, the celebration of Mass outdoors. Thank God we live in Southern California, not in Nevada or some other place where it'd be 120 degrees. It might get a little bit warm, but I invite you, if possible, to go and to pray, to receive Holy Communion, to thank God for the blessings that we've been given. Confessions as well continue. They're outdoors or by appointment in a place that will be safe. We continue our ministry. We just continue to adapt so that hopefully by these measures, we're able to decrease the spread of the virus and to get ourselves back to normal quickly. Let us continue to pray for all those who are sick, those who care for them, their family members and friends, that they receive healing, health, protection, and strength. God bless you.
For more, go to OCCatholic.com. That's OCCatholic.com. Or visit the Diocese of Orange Facebook page.
We're back with you on this very, very special edition of Empowered by the Spirit. You've heard Father Augustine Pugner at a recent video conference that we had on our new book, Be Not Afraid. And again, you can get this book on our website, spiritfulhearts.org. We have a special bulk edition. If you order 20 or more copies, you can get them for $5 each. And we're saying to everyone, please order them for the various groups that you have. We've had large groups order them and give them out to one per person, and I can inscribe them and whatever you want. And certainly for entire parishes, we've had several parishes, including Father Augustine Pugner's parish, order them for families throughout their entire parish. So it's something that you can do that is really makes a difference right now to give people hope, to give people encouragement. So in this book, Be Not Afraid, why did I have this chapter on examination of conscience? Why was I led by the Holy Spirit to write on this particular sacrament? Well, it's because We are under attack, to be candid. We're under attack from an enemy who wants to really give us a lot of fear, to give us despair and anxiety, and not give us any hope at all, and bring us further away from Christ. How do we get closer to Christ? Certainly through the sacraments. To go to Mass whenever you can, and again, for many people, that's very difficult right now. But there are many churches that you can go to reconciliation by appointment, or they have set times. And it's very, very important that we get close to God and really grow in our faith. Because really, you have to attack. You have to move forward as it relates to growing in holiness and growing in spirituality. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's a constant thing. I know my prayer life, I am praying more than I've ever prayed in my entire life. Many Divine Mercy chaplets, many rosaries per day, reading scripture, studying various works and doing Bible studies and doing all kinds of things to continue to get closer to Christ. We have to control our mind and control our thinking. And we see this in 2 Corinthians, where it says that we have to take captive every thought that we have. And when we take captive our thoughts, we get closer to Christ. When we take captive our thoughts, we let God take over our mind, our heart, and our soul. One of the things we have to remember is in the book of James that says we're a vapor that appears briefly and then disappears. With what's going on, the reality for me is I realize, whether no matter what your age is, that the time here on earth is maybe a little shorter than I thought. You know, we just don't know how long it is. Something like this pandemic happens and you see people who are well one day and the next day they're hit with this virus. And unfortunately, some of them are severely hit and some of them unfortunately have passed on. So we don't know whether or not it's COVID-19, whether or not it's something else. We don't know how long we are here on earth. So every single day is a day of opportunity to get closer to Christ. Every single day is a day of opportunity in which we can say, Lord Jesus, take over my life. Lord Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And right now, God is asking us to make this prayer in which we basically ask the Lord to totally take over our life. We basically say to the Lord, no matter what is going on in my life right now, I want you to take it over. It is so critical that we say yes to Jesus completely. And in the book, Be Not Afraid, on page 20th, I say, how many of you appreciate 100% guarantees? I now give you 100% guarantee that Jesus is waiting for you to ask him into your life. He's waiting with his arms open for you to fall into them and say, Abba, Daddy. So let us now pray together. Heavenly Father, and you please repeat after me, no matter where you are, you may be driving, you may be at home, whatever it is, repeat this prayer and pray it from your heart. Heavenly Father, I totally and completely surrender to you everything I am and everything in my heart and soul. I surrender my fear, anxiety, hopes, and dreams. I completely surrender my mind. I surrender my thoughts, my heart, my soul, my past, my present, and my future. Take over my mind, heart, and soul now and forever. I dismiss fear and anxiety from my mind. Jesus, I trust in you. Use me in a powerful way to be an instrument of your light, healing, and spreading your truth that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, transform me to be an instrument of your love. On this day, I totally and completely surrender to you my will and the very essence of my being. Through the intercession of the Blessed Mother, the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' holy name, amen. My brothers and sisters, to the degree that you surrender, the degree that you prayed this prayer and meant it, is the degree that your life will be changed forever and for all of eternity, and for blessings to flow into your heart and soul. The degree that you prayed this prayer and meant it from all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your might, is the degree that love will come into your life, that the fruit of the Spirit, of more love, of more joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, will come into your heart and soul. The degree that anxiety and fear will be gone and replaced with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is so important right now that we take control of our mind. As we said again in 2 Corinthians 10, 4-6, for the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacles to the knowledge of God, and to take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Every single day, ask yourself, to what extent today am I closer to Christ than I've been before? To what extent today did I make him Lord of my life? That's what this message is all about. When you make Jesus Lord of your life, fear just is gone. It's just gone. The anxiety is gone. And the reason it's gone is because God is there filling your heart with hope, with joy, with love. He's filling your heart with his very, very being. As he remains in us, abides in us, as he grows in us, as we grow in faith. When we have this examination of conscience and we look at the Ten Commandments, we can basically say, have I made Jesus the Lord of my life? The first commandment. The second commandment. To what extent have I taken the Lord's name in vain? Or what have I done that has been in vain? What have I done to ignore him? What have I done to move away from him? To what extent am I making the Sabbath holy? To what extent am I worshiping on Sundays, on Saturday nights? But what extent am I worshiping throughout the week? To what extent am I honoring God? To what extent do I honor my father and my mother? To what extent do I honor my friends, my family, my spouse, those closest to us? To what extent do I pray for them? To what extent do I make a difference in their lives? Be not afraid to step out in faith. Be not afraid to have courage. Be not afraid to pray fervently and expect miracles. As we continue to look at the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Have I supported abortion in any way? To what extent have I been passive about killing? To what extent do I support teachings of the church as it relates to life and life issues? What have I done today to make a difference in the area of supporting life from conception to death and every aspect of it? The sixth commandment is thou shalt not commit adultery. Do I look at others with lust in my heart? Do I long to have sex outside of marriage? To what extent do I lust for things that I don't have? To what extent do I want the world to be my world? Do I want to be king or queen for a day? Do I want everything to revolve around my wishes, not what my heavenly desires should be, not what my holy thoughts should be, but to lust after things I don't have, perhaps a better job, perhaps more money, perhaps things that basically are going to be things that are not necessarily going to bring me closer to Christ. The seventh commandment is thou shalt not steal. Am I cheating in any way at work, the government? Am I stealing as it relates to giving my best at work? You know, right now, a lot of people have a lot of free time or time that they don't have. They're working from home and no one's around them. And to what extent are they really putting in a full day's work? To what extent are they stealing from their employer by not giving their best? Very important that we give our best at all times. And we give a baker's dozen. A baker's dozen instead of 12 is 13. So we give above and beyond what we're called to do. The eighth commandment is bearing false witness against our neighbors. Do I speak negatively about other people? Do I extend this gossip that I may hear about somebody? Or to what extent do I build up behind the scenes? Am I an encourager of various people that other people may be tearing down? To what extent do I help build up? To what extent do I make a difference in people's lives? The ninth commandment is, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Do I lust? Do I lust at someone else's spouse? Do I lust and want something different for myself? And 10 is coveting thy neighbor's good. So many times people look at people's good fortune and say, why is it happening to them and not to me? Why are they having those blessings happen to them in which they may get material things or they may get fame or other types of blessings? Do I desire the things of this world more than I desire obtaining virtue and spiritual blessings and grace? During this time of trial and tribulation, am I truly examining my thoughts and actions? The Lord wants us to each day say, how can I get holier? How can I move closer to you? How can I make a difference in my life? My brothers and sisters, you have an opportunity to get this book online. Be not afraid. You can actually get it on Amazon, if Amazon Kindle, or you can purchase it from our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. You can purchase it in bulk and we'll ship it to you and be very happy to do it. But the most important thing right now is for you to be excited about the Lord, for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The most important thing right now is to say, in this time of trial, in this time of challenge, in this time of tribulation, I say yes to you, Lord Jesus, without any fear, without any reservation. I say yes to wanting you to take over my life each and every day. The parable of the sower teaches us so much. It teaches us that some of our thoughts and actions are snapped up by the enemy because we allow it to happen. Some of us is crushed by and really suffocated by the world and fear and tribulation. And some of the things we do, some of our actions, some of our thoughts bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. It has been a blessing being with you on this show and a blessing having Father Augustine Pugner, who is the pastor of St. John the Baptist Parish in Costa Mesa, as this very special show and very special guest in which we had his video conference aired with my commentary in association with it. I ask a special blessing upon all of you to be covered with the precious blood of Jesus, to have greater faith and not fear, and to receive every spiritual blessing, and to be healed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, now and forever, that you may be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I bless you with every spiritual blessing in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you have been on this special edition of Empowered by the Spirit.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here
on Relevant Radio.
Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week
on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.